Interview with Weir, AP, 24th of November,
1965. I think I've got this right. You arrived in Ceylon in 1925,
that's right. And Thai Pongo, 13th of January. 13th of January, 1925.
And
I left there in March, I think it was March 1946.
And I noticed that you worked largely in the North Central Province.
Yes, I was well, I started off in the Eastern Province. When I first went to Ceylon, our head office of the irrigation department was at Trincomalee.
Mm-hmm.
I was there 6 weeks or a couple of months, and then I went as irrigation engineer at Kalmanai. And I was there until I went on leave in 1928. Then I came back and went to the head office, which is at Trincomalee still, is in charge of the drawing office.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was there. We moved the irrigation department headquarters, we moved down to Colombo in 1930. That is when Ceylon got its unofficial majority in
the state. Mm-hmm. Yes, I see. Of course, this education work is very interesting, and did it bring you into contact with the peasantry?
Only the peasantry.
Only the peasantry?
Yes, only, particularly in the... all irrigation work, there's very little upcountry irrigation at all.
Yes, yeah, this is of course in the low country.
Yes.
Would you be able to establish a sort of rapport with them?
Well, what exactly do you mean by a rapport?
Well, did you find it difficult to convey your ideas and to understand theirs?
Oh, no, not at all. I think that's mm-hmm. very easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
the people in the villages, you see, were essentially villages.
Friendly?
Very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Very kind, very kind and generous. And they had, of course, a very great respect for not only Europeans, but for anybody who knew their job.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple folk.
Yes.
Unspoiled.
How were they when it came to repairing village tanks? Did they have any skills at all?
Well, the ordinary cultivator, of course, he did mainly earthwork,
mm-hmm.
but they did have masons, and well, they were the only labour force. And
mm-hmm.
there were a few Portuguese Parangis, I think you
mm-hmm.
call them, who were blacksmiths,
mm-hmm.
mechanics, but the ordinary villager, apart from the artisan, I mean, he's either a mason, a stonebreaker, a mason, or just an ordinary carrying coolie.
Yes. Did you, you had to rely on the villagers for labour?
Yes.
Was there any system of voluntary labour?
Yes. Well, to begin with, it was voluntary as far as unpaid.
Yes.
Yes, well, the village head, every time a village tank had to be repaired or restored, the villagers had to give a certain amount of free labour.
Mm-hmm.
And unless they did that, then no repairs were done, were paid for.
Mm-hmm.
No,
this was using the Gansala?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Were the peasants willing to provide this labour? Was it?
Well, a lot of them, most of them were. On the other hand, quite a lot used to themselves pay for Indian labour.
Who
came in gangs of workers, and they subcontracted.
How did they get the money for this sort of thing?
From the rice crops. Paddy crops.
This must have been the well-to-do.
Well, I don't know whether it'd be well-to-do.
I mean, comparatively.
Comparatively, yes. Well, you see, a successful rice cultivation, particularly under any sort of irrigation, was fairly remunerative. And because their standard of living was very low.
Yes.
Their standard of comfort for them was high, because they had almost a sufficiency, except in a drought year. They had enough there, but they never accumulated any money.
Yes, I see. When these villagers broke various rules, the local village rules, were the Gansaba effective in punishing them?
That I wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't know. I think all they could do would be to fine them.
Yes.
And the fines weren't very much. Perhaps one day's pay.
How useful were these Gansabas from the irrigation point of view?
The village headman or the cultivation superintendent, the cultivation was done, the rules for cultivation were done entirely by, formulated by the district officers, assistant government agents, through the cultivation superintendents. We as irrigation engineers, as irrigation department, never came in much into direct contact with them.
Here, Martha. Come on, always for all day.
Yes, so you were asking what were you asking?
Oh, it was about the peasantry in it.
Oh yes. As soon as the unofficial members got control of government, Senanayake's policy switched from major irrigation works to cultivation of village works, and which was very very sound policy in our opinion. But at that time, of course, the irrigation capacities, the irrigation as a whole was fairly rigidly controlled from an economic point of view.
Finances
and economics, really. For example, unofficially, never anything. It was Mr. Senanayake's rule that he wouldn't spend more than 100 rupees of government money on the irrigation of 1 acre of land, which was later on when the Colombo plan started, and many thousands of rupees were spent on without increasing the irrigation proportionately. Of course, there's always little increase, but when his policy started, which is around about 1930-31, then it was limited to first of all to 30 rupees, then eventually climbed up to 100 rupees.
reverting to the Gan Sabha, how useful were they in maintaining irrigation works? The well vidhanas and the Gan Sabha.
Oh, very, very good. As regards, you mean the village irrigation works?
Yes, village.
The government always maintained the major, right?
Yes, the village ones.
As long as it was only unskilled work, they were quite good.
Mm-hmm. But when it came to any skilled work...
Then the government would call in to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Same with village roads. I mean, government always... the provincial road committee, or a district road committee, they did the masonry work, they did the culverts.
Mm-hmm.
And the villagers did the gravelling and the earth cutting and drainage.
Yes, I see.
There was quite a lot of cooperation.
Didn't they have any shortcomings in as far as maintaining works meant?
Well, I don't know. It's very difficult to say because I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
I mean, most of the village works are just... And there are many thousands of irrigation tanks which had fallen into disrepair during the last 10 centuries. Most of them, that was caused by depopulation or migration of the people.
The general impression I had was that they were not very efficient instruments as far as maintaining works were concerned.
I don't know. Where did you get that impression from?
Well, it's just a modern idea. I read about it in a thesis by an economist, but, you know, I want to check on that.
Yes, well, as I say, most of the disrepair was caused by depopulation, I think.
What about, in this far as irrigation work went, how was the liaison between your department and the AGAs and GAs?
Well, it was taken out, irrigation, cultivation rather, was under the control of the irrigation department until I think 1923.
Uh-huh.
Then it was handed over to the AGAs in 1923. it was just before my time, but we always contended, or rather people who were there, the irrigation staff who were there at the time, always contended that it was more efficiently carried out when it was under the irrigation, when cultivation was under the irrigation department.
Hmm.
I don't know whether that is so or not. The one handicap was, of course, that very few of the irrigation staff, the senior irrigation staff, and it is a purely European department.
Uh-huh.
Didn't have the command of Sinhalese or Tamil, of course.
And did you find it difficult to command and get things done by the headman?
No, because you always had an inspector or something to interpret.
Oh, I see. But what I meant is the GAs and the AGAs knew their headman and their shortcomings, whereas
yes.
You were working
yes.
in the dark.
Yes, that is so. But then, on the other hand, you say, well, there's no real concern of the irrigation department, cultivation as such.
Mm.
All the irrigation department at that time had to do was to provide sufficiency of water
mm-hmm.
and regulated drum per tank.
Mm-hmm.
The actual regulation in the fields, of course, was a cultivation matter.
And you think that should have been left to the headman and the AG?
Well, there was
two views on that.
Two views on it.
Mm. There was friction then between the AGAs and the irrigation.
There was. It must have been.
Mm-hmm. From your in your experience?
Not in ours, because we had very efficient irrigation superintendents.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same staff, but they merely went over to the government agents
mm-hmm.
instead of remaining in the irrigation department.
Yes, I see.
There is continuity.
And did you find a sharp change in policy and day-to-day administration after this switch in
1930-1931? Was there a change in policy?
Did you feel any difference?
No. Personally, I didn't feel any difference because I got on extremely well with my Minister of Agriculture, who was Senator Agri.
Mm-hmm. What were you then?
Irrigation engineer, divisional irrigation engineer.
And?
I was irrigation engineer when he first became minister. I was in charge of the drawing office. Then I became divisional irrigation engineer, North Central Province,
mm-hmm.
and then in charge of village works, North Central Province.
Mm-hmm. So you had a direct dealings with Mr. Senmai?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, through the head of our department, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I was wondering whether policy, ministerial policy at this time, wasn't rather sanguine as to what they could achieve in agriculture and irrigation.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you see, it was a great vote-catching operation,
mm-hmm.
irrigation. I think most of the ministers and most of the members of the politicians
mm-hmm.
were out to encourage as much irrigation, conservation as possible. I mean, apart from the fact that it was going to bring them in votes, it was also going to help the people.
Help the people, yes. But I was wondering whether they set their anticipation too high and whether they went into this over-eagerly without weighing the pros and cons.
Oh, I don't think so. The government had a very tight control of
mm-hmm.
expenditure. And this is marked before the Colombo Plan, which
mm-hmm.
occurred after, more or less after we left, but at that particular time it was, I think they kept a very strict control on the expenditure.
Mm-hmm. And do you think Mr. Senanker brought a new drive and purpose?
Oh yes, undoubtedly he did.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, his brother, whom I never met, F.R. Senmaier, he was a great philanthropist.
Mm-hmm.
Senmaier is a great, very great leader.
Who was the director of irrigation in the early 1930s?
Brown.
Brown?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by Needham.
And they got on well with Senmaier, did they?
No. No. They
didn't?
No, they didn't. No, they didn't get on because... They were too old.
They couldn't take orders.
They couldn't take orders. No.
But surely, even if it was not a ministerial system, they would have had to take orders from a colonial secretary.
I don't know. Because they could dictate
the policy.
The policy, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the irrigation directors, they did or they recommended what they themselves considered to be best from a financial point of view and from utilitarian general utilitarian point of view, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had no axe to grind. It didn't matter to them whether the land that was being cultivated was it being owned by a rich man or a poor man.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I see.
It was irrigable or arable land, and it ought to be irrigated.
Did they differ from Sen and Icon policy?
Oh, I believe so, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I believe very much so.
What?
At the beginning, and then of course, after a year or two, the policy was laid down.
Mm-hmm.
And the only difference then was on financial grounds.
Yes, I see. What role did Mr. C.V. Brain play?
Well, he was a land commissioner before. He was government agent.
Mm-hmm.
Then he became land commissioner, I think. And then he was C.L. Wickramasinghe's predecessor.
Yes, I was wondering whether it's true that it was Mr. Brain who originated this leasehold tenure idea.
Could well have been.
Mm-hmm.
Could well have been.
You're not certain?
No.
Mm-hmm. And who followed Mr. Meaden as director?
Kennedy.
Kennedy.
Yes.
And were you deputy director at that time?
Not at that time. I wasn't deputy director until Wilson, J.H. Wilson, followed Kennedy, but he was never confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor was made director and I was made deputy.
Yes. At that stage, I mean, what sort of influence did the deputy directors and directors have on policy?
Nothing really, merely recommended from a, mm-hmm. purely from an economic point of view, mm-hmm. financial.
Sort of advisory.
Advisory, yes.
And
the minister would say, I know it's not a very economic proposition, but if you want certain this to be done, excuse me, to stop that. Around about 1936, the policy, minister's policy changed. Instead of, he decided to go in more for these restoration of the larger, the ancient
civilization.
And although we did carry on
the
village tanks, but the emphasis was more on the restoration of some of the bigger things. Sir Parakrama was
mm-hmm. one of them.
And
did these, with what success?
Was it? On the long-term view, I think they were quite successful, but it was very difficult at first to persuade the villagers to cultivate land, because the Ceylon, the Ceylonese villager, generally, he has he's lived in a village all his life, his ancestors have been there, and he didn't want to move.
Mm-hmm.
But that was broken down, I think, by offering land to the homeless or
the landless,
which can go on. And I'm talking now about Minnery and Pomerua. And it was, after a few years, very successful.
What do you mean by successful?
Well, the land was cultivated.
Yeah, more land was cultivated.
More land was cultivated, and cultivated fairly efficiently.
Mm-hmm. More efficiently than the old lands?
Oh, yes. Because at that time we got... we went mechanically minded, and we got a lot of tractors and bulldozers, and cleared the jungle.
Mm-hmm. But were tractors applicable on the paddy fields as such, in cultivation?
No, they weren't very successful. Mechanical reaping
uh-huh.
wasn't a success. Because, not because the machines were defective, but the people could never be persuaded to sow at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And or to sow the same variety of seed, with the result that if you had an area of 50 acres, for example, might belong to 10 different owners, and one man would be sowing 3 months paddy, another man 4 months paddy.
Yes, I see.
And it would all be maturing at different times, which of course is hopeless. You cannot cultivate efficiently by machine under those circumstances.
And regarding the peasantry, do you know, this is a rather difficult question, but do you know if there was much indebtedness among them in your areas?
Well, I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, yes, I think that was due, I think, partly to the absentee landlord system.
Absentee. So this was so in the NCP entering?
Oh, yes, yes.
Government didn't try to do anything about this?
That I wouldn't know. But, mm-hmm.
What about mortgagee cultivation?
Brain, I think, he was the starter, I think, of the paddy bank.
Yes, probably. Or Campbell.
Campbell, yes, H.W.K. Campbell. He was the cooperative man.
Mm-hmm.
Man who taught me how to speak Sinhalese.
What about sharecropping? Do you think that prevailed a lot?
Under. Yes, oh yeah.
A lot of it?
A lot of it, yes.
Was there a lot of it in the NCP too, or was it only in Trincomalee?
In Batticaloa district, yes.
Uh-huh. In Norical area?
In Calmer, yeah. Because that was half Moorish and half the Tamil. Uh-huh. And I know some of these at all, only in the right inside.
And have you any idea to whom the peasants were indebted as such?
Not too good. Around the Mudlia, which is in the Tamil Ratamahattan, they seemed to own most of the land.
This is in the Batticaloa area. What about in the Anuradhapura area?
They were more individualistic, I think,
in that area.
In the NCP, yes, the Sinhalese mm-hmm. villages.
Oh, they were more individualistic than the Tamils.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this was to their detriment, or...?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know at all.
This friction between AGAs and irrigation department, I was wondering whether there was a question of status here. Were some of them rather snobbish in their attitudes?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think so. Socially,
you mixed, did you?
Oh, mixed, oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. This is in the outlying areas, but I was wondering whether in the more sophisticated towns, there tended to be a social gulf
between
the CCS men and the specialists. No.
No. I'm certain there wasn't. At least I never came across it anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And politically, did you reflect at all about this, about the political changes, the Donoghue Commission and these new developments?
Yes, to a certain extent, because Freddie Burrows, he stayed with us in Colombo, and he came along. I knew at that time I was acting director of
mm-hmm.
irrigation. I met Owen Ransbottom, who was the Lord Soulville,
yes.
And Davis, Rees.
Yes, Rees.
And Freddie. Burrows. That is just well, of course, What exactly did you want to know?
No, I was wondering whether, say, in the 1930s, I mean, obviously it was a great political change, 1931 constitution,
yes.
And in effect, you would have felt that self-government is coming. And, but for instance, what did you think about the Donamo constitution? What was your opinion about it?
About opting out, about retiring on pension if one wished to, or...
Yes, well, not only that, what did you think of the constitution as a constitution?
Well, it didn't worry us a great deal.
Really, yes.
I mean, I don't think as well. Although, mark you, the civil servants, as civil servants, they were very efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And they were fairly, well, more or less the pick of the bunch of the colonial administrators. They had a lot of experience. No, very few were, the Ceylonese politicians, they hadn't
that experience.
Any.
And there was a lot of incompetence brought in, was there?
Well, I don't know.
I think some of the ministers were not all that competent.
No, they weren't. But Bandranagar wasn't very competent.
Was he a minister?
He wasn't a minister then.
Mm.
I was, during the war, I was secretary of the commission in priority works committee,
mm-hmm.
Which consisted of Mr. Sennagar, he was chairman,
mm-hmm.
And Kotlauer, and who was it? Korea, what's the name of this Korea? No, and three service chiefs.
Uh-huh.
And then I was secretary here. That was to allocate priorities as between what the government should do in, as regards the defence and what the services were going to do.
Yes, I see.
They were all pretty competent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, very competent.
What about, what do you think of Sir John Kutlauer?
Well, he wasn't as good as
But was it, did he, would you say he was incompetent?
Oh no, I don't think so. I don't think he was incompetent. He might have made me director of public works, but he didn't. There was a suggestion when Price left. There was a suggestion that I might get be made because I, at that time, you see, I've been doing all the civil service, all the civil defence works.
Yes, I see. And what made you say that Mr. Bandranagar was incompetent?
Well, he was a Helms-Kerem man. Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, whether...
what he was like in his work, I don't know. Because I had no... I had no dealings with him. The only two people I had any dealings with at all were Sennagar and Dudley Sennagar, of course.
Oh, what sort of chap was Dudley then, in his younger days?
He was a bit dull.
Colourless?
Yes.
Strange. Yes, Mr. Tierney also made that remark.
But actually... When, a few years ago now, when I was in Hong Kong, he wrote, when he got the commissioner to write to me, saying they wanted his father, and Dudley had considered at that time that they should have another European in charge of the irrigation department. Because Alec Rattenberg was acting. And he wrote and asked me whether I would go back. Dudley wrote, said his father had a good opinion. I mean, when I go back, but at that time, of course, I was in Hong Kong, deputy director of public works in Hong Kong, and I was quite willing to go back But I couldn't afford the financial sacrifice.
Mm.
And you can't be 21 years in a place and not like it. But there he wrote and said that sorry that he couldn't pay me a higher salary than the secretary.
Yes, I see.
He was getting 2,000 a
year. Did you find that in the irrigation department too, that you were subject to political attacks, you know, personal attacks as a civil servant? Were?
No. I personally was never subject to any.
What about
that? I think the only people that were subject to any personal attacks were anybody who happened to be incompetent.
Yes, I see.
Because there had been an anti-Ceylonese bias in the irrigation department there in the past, because it was a purely European
staff.
Right. Because at that time, and they thought that there was no Ceylonese
competent
enough to do a specialist job.
Although
they were in the PWD.
Yeah, that seems rather odd, doesn't it?
Yes.
So many doctors, anyway.
Yes.
Was it so in the late 1920s, too, this feeling?
Yes. It was still...
It was purely on a point of competence.
On a point of competence, yes.
Did they sort of doubt the impartiality of the students?
I don't think so, to any great extent. You see, it was one rule that no government servant, whether he was European or Sinhalese, could have any agricultural holdings.
Yes.
Which I think that was rather hard, because I knew one or two Sinhalese who had to
give up their
holdings. So I don't think there was, as far as I knew, there was any partiality.
But it's funny, if the Sinhalese or the Ceylonese were incompetent in this sort of line, don't you think this was a result of the government's educational policy? If they had sufficient technical emphasis in education, they would have got the staff to do this sort of thing.
I don't know.
I mean, if they did really want Ceylonese irrigation men, all they had to do was to shape the education policy.
Yes, but it's more than that, because irrigation, control of irrigation, is very it's a control of water,
mm-hmm.
which can do a tremendous amount of damage if it's uncontrolled. And I think people felt that they couldn't possibly take the risk of anybody who hadn't been
trained
for it, should be put in charge.
Mm-hmm. Regarding government land policy, what were there any shortcomings? Do you think there could have been any improvements in the late 1920s when you first went out?
No, I don't think so. I mean, what was the land policy to?
Yes, what was it?
What I think was fairly bad, it was allowing cultivation by nomadic tribes who would clear the jungle, cultivate, and then move on,
mm-hmm.
gradually move on and leave what they had cultivated derelict, always cultivating new. Now, that was...
You think that should have been stopped?
Well, it was stopped eventually by the Forestry Department,
mm-hmm.
and by their policy of reafforestation, they made it a condition that when ground was chained, it had to be planted with the trees and looked after for until the trees were established.
If I may revert to the headman, do you think there was a lot of corruption?
Well, I'm pretty certain there was.
Mm-hmm. You didn't come across any instances?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
But this was your impression?
Yeah.
What about the politicians themselves?
Well, we didn't have many politicians. The only politician we had, member Van Rajapur, was Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
The European,
what sort of man was Freeman?
Oh, he was a charming man.
Was he impractical in his ideas?
Yes, I think so, yes.
Yeah, in what way?
Well, I mean,
specifically,
he didn't have both feet on the ground. I mean, he was too much of a gentleman, too airy-fairy, too much of a gentleman, really.
Mm-hmm. Would you call him guileless?
Yes, quite guileless, I think. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
And
one of nature's gentlemen.
That's a nice way of putting it. What sort of opinion did you have of Sir Herbert Stanley as a governor?
Well, I didn't come in
contact with
him. No, never came in contact with him.
Do you know what other civil servants thought?
No.
Sir Graham Thompson?
He never came. I didn't have any contact at all with the governor. Don't think the only time I ever met him was probably once at the government house at the usual.
What about you would have met Sir Andrew Caldicott, though? Had some dealings with him?
Only once I jammed his fingers in the door of his car when he came to inspect some irrigation work.
Was he popular among British civil servants, Caldicott?
I don't know. His daughter married O'Regan, as you say. And didn't his wife died in tragic circumstances?
How did she drown?
Didn't she fall out of her upstairs room? I think that was her. Mount Mason Moore, he was another, Monkey Moore.
Yes.
But we never came across...
Because as far as I know, both of them were fairly popular with the politicians, and that was rather difficult achieve.
Yes.
But I know that Stubbs and Thompson were not very popular.
No. I don't know.
What about the colonial secretaries, Wedderburn and Drayton?
Wedderburn was very nice man.
Capable?
I believe so, yes. Mm. Yes. Woodman?
Woodman, yes.
He was very pompous. Yeah, I think he was very intelligent.
Did he get on with the politician?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know at all.
I was wondering whether in the clubs and dinners and over social conversation you sort of, heard any remarks about other politicians.
No. As a matter of fact, politicians were... They were seldom discussed.
What about Indian events? Did you discuss them at all? Indian events?
No.
Gandhi?
Political events.
Yes.
No, I went to India for 3 months during the war. Sisen Naga sent me on a fact-finding mission to see whether they'd grow sugar cane in Ceylon. But we never had any political
sugar cane. What do you think are the chances of producing sugar cane with success?
Well, there were at that time fairly good, because as long as one realized that you had to have at least 10,000 acres and the gain to justify having
a factory.
Mm.
But was the soil and the climate?
Well, soil and climate are all right, yes.
Where?
The idea, on the Mahavali Ganga.
Mm-hmm. Mahavali Ganga, Trincomalee?
Mm. Yes, between the, on the way to Trincomalee. But it didn't materialize while I was there.
I was interested in that remark about Mr. Burrows staying with you.
Well, he used to come along and drink with us and eat with us.
And did he think Ceylon was ready for full self-government?
Well, I think he must have done, yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what were the obstacles as such? What did he consider the obstacles?